Cape Town and Gqeberha area called Mizpah. Anyone ever been to Mizpah? Yeah, okay, that's one or two you have. Old school, like youth camp vibe situation. And, you know, it was a season of my life. I just got married and God had been doing things in the life of our church that I was part of previously. But, jeez, man, I just felt like it was so much more for us. And so in the lead up to that camp, that weekend, I'd actually been actually quite depressed, to be honest. This church thing kind of sucks. It felt like I was going nowhere. And I was just longing for more. My heart was desperate for more. And so in the lead up to that time, I started to pray. Just in my own times, one or two friends, we would gather at times and pray, but mainly prayer on my own and then seeking God with one or two others. And I was in my car. In those days, I had this old school, I can't even remember what it was. Oh, Mazda 323. I was driving on Mazda 323, like down Edinburgh Drive from Weinberg Side over in Bishop's Court. And as I went over, like going down Edinburgh Drive, I was in my car and leading up to that weekend, I was crying out in my heart for God to do something. He spoke to me. And actually, more than hearing a word, as I felt I heard him. And what I felt was this, and heard was this intense rushing water. I felt like this unbelievable flood of like God's voice or his presence just came into my car. It was quick, it was intense, and it was gone. And I knew God like it was a holy moment, you know, in my car. Driving down a drive, like God is here. And I felt in that moment saying to him, Ross, I'm going to move this weekend. And went into that weekend, and I wasn't a pastor in the church, anything like that. I was just a member. But I was crying out for God to do something. And on the Saturday night, you know, typical camp type situation, often on a Saturday night, it's like the big meeting of the weekend, and the worship was going, and in my heart, again, worshiping, I was crying out, I said, God, there's got to be more. And I'd actually done a workshop in the afternoon and shared a little bit around the Holy Spirit like I'm going to do this evening. And as we were worshiping that evening, he reminded me of what I'd been sharing in the afternoon. He said to me, Ross, I want to do some of that stuff that you've been talking about in the afternoon. And I said to the leader, like, I'm going to do something. Are you willing to risk it? He wasn't really a man of the Spirit. He was leading us at that time. So I don't think he quite knew what to do with me, to be honest. And he was like, okay, Ross, we had a good relationship, but he didn't really understand the things of the Spirit. So I said, okay, cool. I'm going to go for this. Let's trust God's in this. And what I felt God say to me was, we had been, you know, at a camp, you're also cooking, and there's a bunch of kids or teenagers. It wasn't teenagers. It was late, it was like from 18 to 35-year-olds, basically. So it was young adults, it wasn't teenagers, sorry. Felt like teenagers. Anyway, felt like teenagers, but it wasn't. I feel old now. And we had been cooking, obviously, meals and food for the weekend. And he reminded me, hey, there'd been some food that had come to the camp and left over like spur buckets. You know those spur buckets? Have you ever seen them? Like if you go to a spur, you might see them like in the kitchen on the floor. I've seen them before. The big buckets of like spur sauce that they then put onto the burgers and stuff. Anyway, we had some empty buckets floating around in the kitchen, and he said, God, I felt like God said, go fetch the buckets, and you're going to do a prophetic act this evening. And as you do this prophetic act, I am going to pour my Spirit out. My people are going to receive my Spirit. Now, so I ran to the kitchen, I came back with this bucket. I didn't choose the massive bucket. I was too scared to go for the big one, but there was a smaller one, and chose a bucket which was about that big. And then I stood up in front of, I don't know, maybe there were about 200 of us. And I just said, I feel this evening that God wants to break into our midst. He wants to do something supernatural by His Spirit. And if you'll go with me, I'm going to do a prophetic act. And I trust that as I do, the Holy Spirit is going to manifest Himself, and He's going to pour Himself out upon our lives. He's going to heal us. He's going to fix us. He's going to set us free. He's going to speak to us. He's going to encourage us. Because it had just been theory we've been hearing like for the weekend. And as I stood up and stepped out in faith, God came through. And I saw the Spirit of God poured out, like, you know, like pray for people, but whole sections of people overcome by the Spirit of God. Boom. And I was like, it's a bucket, you know, like what's going on here, God? But the reason I'm mentioning this is because I feel like God is longing to pour His Spirit out upon His church. And thanks, Lauren, and the Spirit in you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. What's incredible as I think back upon that time now is to see what people did with that time. The Spirit of God was powerfully manifest that evening and changed my life. I've remembered that night forever. And I've seen God move in power since that time, but it was probably the most powerful manifestation of the Holy Spirit that I've been part of, as like hundreds of people were filled with the Holy Spirit. And God powerfully, you know, like chairs gone, people on the floor weeping, God's demons manifest. We didn't know what to do. People like laughing, like, you know, just going crazy. The reason I mention that is because what do we do with that? When God manifests himself, when we receive the Holy Spirit, what do we do with it? And as I think back now, the incredible businessman who came out of that time, one of the businessmen who came out of that time and who was studying at Stellenbosch at that time, has a company in Cape Town called RSA Web. And RSA Web are a massive IT company in the city. They employ tons of people. And they are actually behind the installing of so much of the fiber that we have in Cape Town. And one of the directors of the company, he was there that night. And I remember the Spirit of God powering into his life, into his wife's life. Ross knows who I'm talking about. It was incredible. And then another guy who started a business in Cape Town, which was linked to WordPress, and they started a business that served WordPress, and he now has an international business which was actually bought out by an American company. He's basically retired at 35, lives an unbelievable life of reinvesting in other things. And the reason I mention that is that was some of the fruit of the Holy Spirit that night, as God released stuff. These are young students or businessmen trusting God. What am I going to do with my life? And the Holy Spirit was poured out. Not everyone became a full-time pastor, you know. It was in my calling to eventually become that. But God activated stuff in people's lives. But actually, if I'm honest, there were many who, on the back of that time, actually walked away unchanged. There were two sides. God powerfully moving. But then you look at the fruit of their lives and you go, like, actually, there wasn't any fruit. What happened? But they hadn't stewarded what they had received. And I want to encourage us this evening, just as the Holy Spirit manifests himself in our lives, that we will be people who have a longing for God and who steward what he deposits inside of us so that it can manifest in our lives. Whether it can be creative ideas, it can be starting businesses, it can be like an unbelievable ability to lead worship or to sing. But if we don't steward what the Holy Spirit deposits inside of us, it's going to be lost. And that was really my heart to share this evening around that, because Mark did a great job of preaching last week. Mark, I honor you, bro. You had a great, great message you shared. And I'm going to hopefully take a short amount of time in a moment and share something that will be helpful coming on the back of that, and trust it's going to speak to us. So here we go. All right. That was my intro. Good luck. I'm hopefully not going to go too long, and I'm going to watch the clock sharply and carefully. And so I had this message this evening on vacuum cleaners and vanquishing the enemy. Okay. And it wasn't in my notes to share what I just shared before about that meeting back in 2006. It was something that the Holy Spirit put on me tonight. But I feel that some of that's going to flow into my message. And the reason I use this title for the message is because the Holy Spirit wants to manifest himself in the reality of our lives. If the Holy Spirit is not present while we're doing our chores and cleaning, then how is he going to be manifest in our life in terms of coming against the enemy, extending the kingdom, all those sorts of things? And in Acts 8, there are a couple of portions of scripture in the New Testament that talk about the need for the Holy Spirit to be received by the early church. I'm going to touch on two this evening, or mention two. The first is in Acts 8, and the Holy Spirit has just come. The believers have just been persecuted, and they have now, under persecution, gone into different regions. And they're preaching the gospel as they go. And the gospel has begun to be established here. It's being established in Samaria, which Mark spoke about last week. And in Samaria, the church in Jerusalem now hears about what's happened in Samaria, and they send some of their leaders. So they send Peter and John. They hear that the gospel's gone out to Samaria, and Peter and John go to the apostles. And they come, to these people, and they realize that these people have not received the Holy Spirit. They've maybe heard of God, the Holy Spirit's being poured up, but some of them have yet to receive the Holy Spirit. And they come down and they pray for these people. And as they pray for them to receive the Holy Spirit, God does an amazing thing in them as these apostles lay their hands on them and the Holy Spirit is manifest in their lives. And so you see this thing in the early church of, as the gospel's extended, the Holy Spirit wants to be poured out on the back of that. And it's something I felt in our church in 2006, going like, the gospel's being preached, we're talking about the gospel, but where is the power? Like, where is the power to change our lives? I was crying out for that. And the early church, thankfully, they had wise leadership. The apostles were sent from Jerusalem, and they realized that these believers are hearing the gospel. The Holy Spirit was being poured out in certain parts, but here in this region, he hadn't yet been poured out. And so they come, they lay hands upon them, and the Holy Spirit is poured out. And you see something similar happen a bit later in Acts 19. Different situation, this time not with Peter and John, but with Paul. And so the gospel is advanced from just those 12 disciples and the Jews now to the Gentiles. And as it goes to the different regions of the Gentiles, Paul realizes that the church in Ephesus is lacking. And some leaders come to the church in Ephesus in Acts 19, and we read them saying, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" And some of the believers in Ephesus go, "No," as Mark was talking about last week. "We have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." And he said, "Into what then were you baptized?" And they said, "Into John's baptism, a baptism of repentance, and a baptism of turning from our old ways and now following after Jesus. A baptism of water, of our first step of obedience." And then Paul realizes they haven't received the Holy Spirit. So he does the same as what Peter and John did in Acts 8. He gathers these people together, and having now preached to them and heard where they're at, he lays hands on them, and the Holy Spirit comes on them, and they begin to speak in tongues and to prophesy. And so I think it's God's heart, wherever the gospel is preached, wherever the good news of Jesus Christ is known, is for him to come on the back of that and to awaken his church and to fill his church and to empower his church, so that as the gospel goes out from our lives, it's not just words, but it comes from lives that have been radically touched by who he is. And one of our great kind of church fathers of the contemporary day is Billy Graham. Good old Billy Graham. I never had the, obviously, incredible preacher of the word, but I never personally heard him preach. But some of the older generation have. And their lives were radically changed by him, as he even came and preached in South Africa many years ago. All over the world he preached. And Billy Graham said this, man, he traveled across the world serving the church. He said, "Wherever I go, I find that God's people lack something. They're hungry for something. The Christian experience is not all they expected, and they often have recurring defeats in their lives. Christians today are hungry for spiritual fulfillment. The most desperate need of the nation," and I put in brackets, or the church, or the community, or the city, so those are my words. "So the most desperate need of the nation today is that men and women who profess Jesus be filled with the Holy Spirit." And you know, Evan loves to play. Yes, I love my son. He's a legend. He loves to play, obviously, as a boy. And one of his favorite toys is a leaf blower. He got a special leaf blower as a present. Might have mentioned this before. Have I mentioned this before here? I love telling the story. Anyway, he got a leaf blower. He had a play date on a few days ago. It's a special treat. He had to plug his leaf blower in and go into the garden. He like blows all the leaves everywhere. I promise you. Ask him. It's his favorite thing. But you know what? Like, a leaf blower is totally useless unless it's plugged in, or if it's petrol-driven or diesel-driven. Unless it's got a power source, it's useless. And in many ways, I think we spend so much time talking about the leaf blower. Oh, it's so amazing. I can do all these incredible things. And speaking of us, like, the church can do so many things, but we're not actually plugged in. We're not connected. And so, Lauren, get connected. amen. I hear what really Graham writes that. I feel a cry in my heart. Like, actually, so much, even in Josh Jen, we are an amazing church. We have got so much health. But we can go to gatherings. We can come to Sunday meetings. We can go to community. We can fellowship together. We can do community together. We can share our lives and not have the Holy Spirit. And my heart, and sometimes I think it can make me a little bit awkward or abrasive to be around sometimes. But like, even in community, to be honest, sometimes I just want to fall asleep in community because it's boring. I know I'm there, I'm supposed to be there to love and serve others, but like, sometimes I just feel like, Jesus, where are you? And I have such a longing in my heart for more, and I'm not dissing the communities. Just want to say, comm leaders, guys, we visited all the comms here. We love you guys. I'm not putting something on you. Really, I'm not. This is me just like my longer reflection on my walk with God. There's more. There is more. I know there's more. I've seen it. I've experienced it. And it's not because I'm special, but it's just because I've seen God do stuff. And many of you have. And don't forsake those things. Bring those things into your walk with them and trust that you're going to see more. So back to that meeting in 2006 and my longing, my personal, just my longing to see God move. I think coming out of that that meeting, that there were some people who, for whatever reason, there were handbrakes on the Holy Spirit in their lives. So the Holy Spirit can be poured up, but actually there might not come fruit because we put the handbrake up, actually. So in those two portions of Scripture that I've mentioned from Acts, those were situations of ignorance. They'd yet to hear about the Holy Spirit. And there might be some of you here this evening. I don't know, all of you. Maybe you've never really encountered the Holy Spirit. You've never really met Him, or you don't have a relationship with Him. So I want to say tonight, if that's you, I'm explaining to you that you can have a personal relationship with the Holy Spirit and walk with Him and receive of His love and receive, hear His voice and receive the power, the knowledge of being loved by Him. So we can kind of scratch the first line off, okay, ignorance. But I think actually the next three are the most important for us as human beings, because most of us, if you think about fear, most of us like to control things. And just that evening, back in 2006, God was teaching me He's uncontrollable. He just told me, get a bucket and do a prophetic act, and the rest, I could have looked like, I promise you, if I stood in front of people and I did a prophetic act and nothing happened, it would have been very awkward. I promise you, it would have. But I had to take that step of faith, overcome my own personal fear, because I was shaking, I was so scared. God, if you don't rock up, I'm like stupid. And doing a prophetic act, and we didn't touch anyone, we didn't lay hands, we just did an act, and the Holy Spirit poured Himself out. And what He was doing that evening was for the people, but it was also for me, overcoming fear. And I think so often, even when we've experienced the Holy Spirit, and we walk away, we take control back. And the reason we take control back is because we're fearful, or we can be fearful. And like never before, we're a generation of fearful, hey? Anxious. What's going to happen? What's happening? And God wants us to lay that down. And that's one of the handbrakes we can put down, is fear, and allow the Holy Spirit to work in our lives. Other is stubbornness. Some of us are just proper stubborn, hey? Tess, it was great to hear you share. I just want to honor you. Like, you speak so well. You are so eloquent. But I don't know you at all, but I can imagine that you could be quite stubborn, to be honest, just as a person. So whether that's true or not, I don't know. Like, you know, often people, to be honest, often, and the reason I say that, is often when people have got experience, you've been successful in the world, you're like on a mission. Part of that is because actually your stubbornness means you won't bear some stuff. Like, whatever, get over yourself and on you go. So part of that is actually like a stubbornness inside of us, but the positive side. The negative side is the stubbornness can mean we can block the Holy Spirit off. Because again, it's control. Stubbornness is a form of control. I'm in control of my life. God, you're doing something here, but actually I don't like it. Or it makes me feel uncomfortable. And through that stubbornness, we can harden our hearts to Him. And we hold Him back from being released in and through our lives. Just check my time quickly. That's stubbornness. And then probably most significantly for us this evening, we really felt it in the Spirit. Neil and I were feeling it before this evening, and then Tandeka prayed it in the prayer meeting, is this thing of familiarity. Is actually within the culture of Josh Jen, and especially in charismatic type churches where we love the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and it's just part of our vocabulary and kind of our culture and who we are. You know, actually sometimes the charismatic churches can feel most dead. Because again, we do all this talking about the Holy Spirit. Well, what does He actually do? And I want to challenge you with that this evening. Like how, because that familiarity can actually, again, can turn you away from the Holy Spirit. And that, how do I say this? Like just being honest, last week when Mark was preaching, I think I saw at least three people in the midst of the, just as it's a church last week, who weren't taking notes on our phones. But we were actually just on our phones. Familiar. I've heard this before. Like, we're in church. I mean, God is here, but actually, I'm bored. Familiar. And you're scrolling through your phone. So I'm not condemning you. I'm not putting anything on you. But so often, the reason for that is because we're familiar. I've done it. I've sat in gatherings and gone, I've heard this before. Scroll through my phone. If we're honest, anyone else ever do that? And that familiarity grieves the Holy Spirit. And He says, no, put that down. And this evening in the worship, I felt one of the things coming through, even as Isaac was singing, I heard someone sing, it was, wake up, awaken. And that awakening is awakening to the fresh and the new of the Holy Spirit. Opening ourselves up to Him and saying, I may know you, Holy Spirit, but show me new things. Or baptize me afresh so I can walk in the newness of the Holy Spirit. Are you still with me? I'm not going to be too much longer. So those handbrakes are things that have got to come down for us. And I'm speaking to us tonight, not just for tonight, but beyond. Because it feels like actually God's done so much tonight already, even in the worship. And let's walk these things out as we've received from Him. Let's walk them out and put those handbrakes down. And so ignorance we can count out. If fear is an issue for you, bring it to Him. Stubbornness, identify that. Bring it to Him. And familiarity. Okay. And so then there's two, I think as we receive the Holy Spirit, there's two things I wanted to really major on this evening. So as we receive the Holy Spirit and those things no longer become an issue for us, we put the handbrake down. Two things that I wanted to mention this evening that the Holy Spirit needs to do in our lives and I wanted to highlight. Firstly, is He wants to bring peace in the ordinary. Peace in the ordinary. And like I've said already, I think we are so anxious as a people, so many of us. And I think that anxiousness or that thing inside of us where we don't have deep peace is because we always feel, I think a lot of us feel like we're missing out on something cool in life. There's this restlessness. And it's because of the lie that the enemy is selling us through social media, that person is living a better life to me. Lee and I go back and forth over this all the time about what social media tells us. And something we've got to check our hearts in all the time. Because did you see that? Oh, that just looks amazing. Or a restlessness and a dissatisfaction that comes from comparing us to the best of other people's lives. And that steals from us the ability to experience the peace of the Holy Spirit in the ordinary. And the meaning, the joy that flows from that peace, which is why I felt like God was saying we need to experience Him in the reality of our normal lives. And a well-known preacher from America says this, sometimes the greatest act of faith is faithfully staying where you are planted. Yes, I'm telling you. In our old church many years ago, I wanted to bolt. I saw stuff going on in that church 3 years before we left. And I wanted to bolt. I was like, leadership was falling apart, didn't agree what was going on. This is 2007, 2008. And I wanted to go. Went to God and He said, don't you dare. I could see the grass was green in other places. Or I thought it was. It's green. I've got to go find the green. And He said, don't you dare. You stay. And you only go when I tell you you can go. And so we stayed an extra 2 years longer than we thought we would. And experienced some of this. Some of the greatest act of, just such an act of faith to remain. But how amazing for us are we part of a church that's healthy, part of a church that has a vision to reach the city and to disciple and reach people. And what a place He's put us in. I mean, maybe it's just because I'm from the southern suburbs, but geez, man, this place is amazing. I can't wait to live here. I can't wait to plant my life here and reach people for the gospel here and to put my roots down deep. And that's the point, is the Holy Spirit is wanting our roots to go down deep. God is. And He uses the Holy Spirit to do that. And if we keep taking ourselves out of the soil of the fellowship of the local church and moving and planting our lives for whatever reason, whether it be work, whether it be family, whether it be comfort, the church is not established. It's not growing. The church is built, as we know, upon sacrifice, upon laying our lives down and saying, I'm going to sow my life into this soil, even if it costs me, and especially if it costs me. And so I want to encourage us to find peace in the ordinary. One of the great revivalists in church history, a man by the name of Charles Finney. Anyone know Finney? Had some super dodgy theology and some of his stuff, but was an amazing man in so many ways. Methodist minister. Was he Methodist? Sorry, let me just check. Sorry, Presbyterian. The Methodist were later with Wesley. Presbyterian. Gained longing for the presence of God, and God raised him up in his time to be a revivalist. Renewal came to the church in America through him. Later, some of his theology went wonky. But he used to say, he had a long list to the people he was discipling. He used to have a list of discipleship when he used to sit down and meet with people and do coffees with them, cappuccino and all that. He'd just been discipling his people. And his long list in the midst of revival, his final point was, if you cannot experience Jesus in the midst of doing chores at home, you've not fully met Him. If you can't, in a day and an age where we want to get up and we want to go. We want to get up and we want to go. We do want to go to the nations for Jesus, but actually also going to the nations is rad. Get to see different cultures and countries and meet different people. But if we're not finding him in the ordinary and experiencing his peace in the ordinary, we're never going to grow up in the things of God. Another quote, a couple more points, we're nearly done. Jean Vanier, who recently died, an amazing man, said this: we are not called by God to do extraordinary things, but to do ordinary things with extraordinary love. I can tell you, I just want to kind of confess that I love to chase, I love to run. I want to, like, if I hear of God's doing something, I'll run and I'll try to find it. I've always been like that. Lee would be like Ross. She'll nail me. You're being grumpy. When you woke up on Monday and you said this to the kids, or you weren't the best husband in this. And it's, if we don't experience him in the ordinary, like, what is he actually doing? And so I think each of us need to trust that the Holy Spirit will manifest in this way by bringing peace in the ordinary. You with me? Okay, and secondly, peace in the ordinary, but geez, the Holy Spirit does bring boldness for the extraordinary. He does. It's part of what he does. It's he breathes. As we hear the gospel, as our lives are changed. Yes, I lived such an ordinary life before I knew Jesus. Really. Such an ordinary life, but it was an ordinary life without the Holy Spirit. As I came to know him, and he got infused into the ordinariness of who I was, man, peace. Love, joy, and as he built me up in that way, he built faith for me to go and to be used. And so over time came the boldness, the courage to share the gospel, to see God do things through me, because I realized there were gifts of the Holy Spirit that he put inside of me. And so 2 Timothy 1, as a well-known portion of Scripture, says that we need to fan into flame the gift of God that is in us. We need to fan into flame. For he's given us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of the Lord. That's why we need to have a spirit, not of fear, but of power, love, and self-control, so that we will not be ashamed, Romans 1, verse 16, to preach the gospel, testify about who Jesus Christ is. And I think there's so much more for us in that, as a community, as individuals, also just in the midst of our life, trusting for the extraordinary in the ordinary. I'll tell you a story at this point, which comes to mind, and then I'll land in a moment. Last year, boldness for the extraordinary, we went to Harare on outreach, and we're really trusting for the Holy Spirit to do something. And to be honest, we were there for a few days, and it was actually quite hard. The church was going through a difficult time. There was some stuff we had to speak into and pray, and just we realized how hectic things in Zim were. We were like, oh my word, 5-6 of us had went. We're like, this is hectic. God, just help us to love on them, and we focused on loving them and building them up. And then the one day we went onto the streets, because in Africa it's super, people are still generally open to doing evangelism on the streets. And some of you would have heard this before, but we prayed. We prayed in a group before we went out that morning, and I heard a name, Barry. I was like, oh. I sometimes do get names. Anyway, I mentioned the name to the group who were praying. Everyone, actually, in that prayer meeting, it was a wonderful example of the ordinary, because as we were praying, about 10 or 12 of us, the guys from Zim, yes, they love their phones. They're all on their phone. I was like, jeez, I don't have much faith for this, like, outreach onto the streets now. But we prayed together for a few minutes. I felt a name. I said, hey, guys. I felt God give us a name, Barry, just in case some whatever, if we go. And so we go door to door, meeting people, praying for people, et cetera, et cetera. I think went off with one group, and later we came back to another. And as we met back with the other group, had a cup of coffee, they were all like, open eyes. They were like, Ross, won't believe it, we found Barry. Won't believe it, we found him. And it's an amazing story, because it was a group of us that God used. So I got the name. Martin, who's one of the deacons in Zimbabwe, was outside a particular house. The Holy Spirit said, ring the doorbell of this house. They passed by some others, stopped at this particular house, rang the doorbell. No one answered. As they were about to go away, one of the girls said, no, let's just wait and see if someone does come. They wait about another minute or two. The owner of the house comes and looks, opens the door, the gate, peeks his head out, and they get chatting to him. Anyway, we later found out that he thought they were Jehovah's Witnesses. There are many of them in Africa. And so they get chatting. Just hearing about who he was, why he's in Harare, actually a South African guy, but in Zim for work. Cut a long story short, they bless him, they encourage him. His wife is now in the kitchen. This is what we hear later. She's like looking through the curtains. They've closed them, and she's looking through the curtains like, boy, you, it's the Jehovah's Witnesses, suck. And as the group walks away, one of the girls, Charlie, says, so what's your name? She says, my name's Barry. Boom. Well, Holy Spirit. Extraordinary. And so that man for the last year got grafted into the church in Harare. A white man was one of the only white men in the church in Harare, which is mainly black, and got to be part of the church and love and serve and give his life, serving them. Heard just recently, well, he's about to move to another city now for work, but the point is, extraordinary. It's not this kind of stuff. You can't make that stuff up. But the point is, if we don't put ourselves in situations of going, of being available for the extraordinary, God can't use us. And I wanted to encourage you with that story. Is that cool? Okay, last scripture, we're going to land and pray. Back to Acts 8 where I started. You know, in Acts 8, as the early believers were persecuted and they were scattered and they preached the word and the gospel went into Samaria, we see that in some regions of Samaria they hadn't received or experienced the Holy Spirit, which I touched on earlier, but in this certain region they had. And it was through Philip that the gospel came. And as Philip preached the gospel, it says the crowd paid attention with one accord. That means that the message was coming with power. They were listening to what was being said. And as he ministered, he did signs of the Holy Spirit. Unclean spirits came out of people, crying out with a loud voice. Many who were paralyzed or lame were healed. Why? Why did God do that? So that there could be joy in that city. And I want to say that one of the things that I think Greenpoint is called to is to bring joy to the city. Because, man, we live in such a depressed, nihilistic, dark generation where no one's got hope. So many are just in such a terrible place. Once we scratch and get below the surface, put on the front, put on the veil, put it up. But behind that, falling apart. Marriage is falling apart. Lives falling apart. And God says to us that he wants us to be a people who've received the Holy Spirit. So like Philip, we can go and bring the gospel into our city. And as we bring it into the city, it's going to bring joy to people because they're going to receive it. They're going to hear it. They're going to receive the Holy Spirit. Their lives are going to be changed. And Cape Town will be impacted by us. I have such a longing for that. It can kind of sound cheesy if you've heard the gospel many times, but I really have a longing to see God bring joy to the city through us. But we're never going to do that if we're not people of the Holy Spirit, if we're not received of him. And so this evening, as we finish, yes, love to take a moment just to pray and to allow the Holy Spirit to minister to us. And he's done an amazing thing already this evening. Let's just close our eyes. He's done an amazing thing already this evening in the worship. And so I don't want to labor this for the sake of laboring it. But I feel God saying that he wanted, because I almost thought there wouldn't be a word tonight. So we close our eyes. Just close our eyes. I feel like God's saying he wanted to bring this word tonight because he wants it to be worked out of our lives. He wants what we've received already this evening to produce fruit beyond this time into our lives. And I want to put before us again this evening those handbrakes. Ignorance, fear, stubbornness, familiarity. Let's just spend a moment thinking about that. Just reflect on your life. Think about where you're at with God, with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And then specifically with regard to the Holy Spirit, being receiving his love, being filled with his love, being baptized in him. What are the things that are either holding you back from receiving from him? Or what are the things that are holding back once you've received from living it out? And I want to say if there's fear this evening, I want you to respond. And what I want to ask you to do is to stand. If you feel like fear is a thing for you, and then I want to pray for you afterwards. If fear is something you believe you need to overcome tonight, won't you stand to be emboldened and to say, God, I long for more of the Spirit. And I want to be filled by you. And I want to overcome this thing. Being fearful of the work of the Spirit in my life or what you might call me to do. And to receive tonight courage. So that's you stand. Eyes closed. You can stand. Thanks. Thanks. It's rad. Oh, I love it, man. And secondly, stubbornness. If you realize that actually, do you know what? You could be stubborn sometimes. And even stubborn towards the Holy Spirit. Either not listening to his voice or resisting him in some way. Could be because of sin. But this evening, you need to be softened. Holy Spirit needs to come and he needs to soften your heart. And if that's you, please stand. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. And then lastly, this curse of familiarity. And it really is a curse. It's something that's got to be lifted off our lives. Of being over familiar with you. And it steals from us the treasure of walking intimately with you. If you feel somehow that you've become familiar, I feel like God says this evening he wants to awaken you in the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father. And so if that's you, won't you stand as well and just respond and say, Father, this is me. Thank you, Father. And I'm going to pray over us this evening that we would receive. That we would receive, as we've received already in worship this evening. Some of you would have received already in worship. Father, I want to thank you for the many that have responded this evening. This is your church, Father. It's your people. It's your temple. Lives come together longing to be filled with the Spirit. Longing, Father, to find peace in the ordinary. Boldness in the extraordinary, Father, to be used by you in these sorts of ways. And so as you've responded this evening, just Holy Spirit, come and minister to them for a moment. Come and minister. Come and touch them this evening. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come and touch them in their hearts. If their hearts need to be softened, if fear needs to be overcome, if familiarity needs to be broken, if lives need to be awakened to more this evening, come in this moment and do that. Come and awaken to more. And just on that last one, awakening, I just want to remind us of how each morning, some of us, we experience the rudeness of our phones waking us up. Yes, I detest my phone waking me up. I love my sleep. But I feel this evening that for some, as you awaken, it's going to be that soft ringing of your phone. It'll be pulsing and it'll get louder and louder and louder and louder and louder until you've got to switch it off. You've got to wake up. And the Holy Spirit is saying to you this evening, I'm going to get louder and I'm going to get louder. I'm going to speak to you more directly and more sharply until you wake up. And so respond this evening and say, Lord, I hear you waking me up, and receive the Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit. And for others of us, it could be a real sudden waking up. Got that alarm clock next to you and it belts full volume straight away. Boom. And there's that suddenness. And so I want to speak to you, if that's you tonight, wake up in your spirit. Wake up and receive from him. So Father, thank you. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy towards us. And if there are any this evening, you just feel you want to move around and lay hands on people you've responded, if God's laying a particular person on your heart, you're welcome to do that. I just want to set the saints free for a few minutes. If you want to do that, please do. But Father, come. Come and awaken. Come, Holy Spirit. Come and let us receive more of the Holy Spirit so we can live in more, so we can deposit more. And so we can experience manifestation of just a greater nearness and a greater presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. So Father, thank you. Thank you for tonight. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Do you want to play? Do you mind? I'm just going to ask Audrey play for a couple of minutes over us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. It's 8 o'clock. Plead just Couple more minutes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I just see hearts being awakened. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I see fear. I see fear being overcome this evening. Thank you. So there's chains of fear beginning to fall off people tonight. Come, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit, and break the chains of fear. Thank you, Jesus. And you'll know the Holy Spirit is manifest because you'll begin to sense his warmth. Begin to sense his peace. He'll begin to manifest in your emotions, in your mind, in your spirit, in your body. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Rasha sotopatia, 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 Rasha sotopatia